everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We've got a great program for you tonight. Part two of the coming world starvation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a serious matter. We've talked about it in part one. The nations that are actually experiencing severe drought. And now, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, that's not been too bad in times past, except in the regions where the drought was that. But now it's come home. Now America cannot, and I repeat, America cannot escape the coming hunger. Now, in Mark chapter 13 and 8, before we get started in the message tonight, and that's where we're going, Mark 13 and 8, to take a gestalt, to build a text, and give you some indications that's biblically principles of a solid foundation. You know, if the Word, which is proven itself over and over again, that it is prophetic, it's going to come to pass, just like the Bible said. Now, you may not have the right time frame. You may be wanting it to happen before it does, but you can see the signs in the heavens now that Mark 13:8 is expressing to you. So you call a friend right now. Tell them that this is a very important message for the world, and we're going to talk on it, and it may come home to you very soon. Have you made preparation? That's the key to our whole message here, is prepare for the coming events. Now, you say, well, Pastor, but the Bible said that in the last days that there won't come a famine for bread and water, but from hearing the Word. Well, that's true. And people won't hear the Word. You know, the gospel has been preached around the world so many times, and nobody believes it. And you say, oh, the churches are bulging. They're full. That's the traditional churches that are paying and prospering to get the students of their tradition in so that they can indoctrinate them to give them more tradition. But we're talking about actual prophetic prophets and actual people that is out in the trenches with the armor on, carrying the burden of truth against the onslaught of Satan and his angels. For nation shall rise against nation. This is 13 and 8 Mark. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. There shall be famines and in troubles. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, I want you to think about that last part, the beginning of sorrows. Now, America has escaped war, you know, since we fought against our own brothers. And that was engineered by our enemy. If you really want to study the true history of the Civil War, you just go back and find out who engineered it and brought it to fruition and who was actually behind the Civil War of dividing brother against brother. And here in Matthew 24:7, it's the sister-sister scripture that I'm going to give you. Again, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. Now, famine, earthquakes. Did you know that we have what is known as a silent famine crossing our globe today? Now, you may see some reports on television of an evangelist over in Africa, in Timbuktu, wherever, holding a little black child that is emancipated and suffering malnutrition and things of this nature and making an appeal for funds. But did you know that these Christian traditional organizations that do this, that not even 20% of what they gather from your sympathies ever gets to actual on location? That it's used to just keep on keeping on the front, the traditional front. So they're not interested in curing the world's food shortages, that's for sure. But they are interested in driving big cars and living in big fine mansions. You take your big evangelist here that gather foods up, or, you know, they do. But what about home? What about here? What's being done here? Listen to this. This is the World Net Daily article that I'm reading from. Global food prices, based on United Nations records, rose 35% in the last year, escalating a trend that began in 2002, but since then, prices have risen. Get this now. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, when you bring home a fistful of money, and you think that you're in high cotton, you're going to put back some in the little piggy bank, and you go out and you find out that since 2002, food prices have risen 65% since 2002. 65%. It's amazing. Last year, according to the UN Food and Agricultural Organization's World Food Index, dairy prices rose 80%. Grain, 42%. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't a sign of better days coming, but unrepentant mankind, yet few are even aware of what's going on, and the reason behind it is what I'm describing as a silent famine. And the engineered destruction of the world. Now, you say, well, buddy, why would you say that? Well, we're going to give you some scriptures in the book of Revelation. It's going to be very frightening. It frightens me when I read them. And yet, I know that in times past when I've given these scriptures, that people are largely oblivious. I mean, it just goes, they're so indoctrinated and conditioned, oh, that ain't going to happen. And we're too busy watching 200 channels of cable, playing video games, racing around here and there, and trying to get this and that. We're talking on our cell phones. I have never seen a beat in my life. Text messaging, going to and fro, watching the news. And sadly, when we take time to flip on the evening news, it's just like it's a canned product. They just give you what they want you to see. And mostly we hear about the Hollywood starlets, like who Paris Hilton slept with, or, you know, whoever. Now, Marilyn Monroe, who's been dead 47 years, I believe, and there's a crypt above her burial spot back in Los Angeles, I believe it is, where she buried. There's a spot that a widow woman, her husband requested to be buried there, but since he died, the widow woman has refused to bury him there, saying she needs to sell the plot and pay off her mortgage. And, you know, it went for over $4 million. That there was a bidder from Japan that offered $4 million to actually sleep on top of a dead Marilyn Monroe. Can you believe these morbid things that we got in our minds, that people would do this thing for better than $4 million? And she turned it down because the bidding went so good on eBay that she turned it down. She wanted more money. What are we going to do here? The warning signs of global famine being a possibility to only increase in the not too near distant future should be a top news story, but it isn't. Now, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, if you listened to what that says, how true are the words of Hosea in our world today? My people are destroyed. I mean, they're busy in other matters. They're eating and drinking and being merry. As long as there's bread on the table and milk in the fridge or cold beer, things are good. Rounded steak on the grill, the barbecue, and it full of hormones and the things that they have put in it, and the food that we eat is GMO'd, and we're getting sicker and sicker. The World Bank said this week that the price of staple foods has risen by 80% in the past 3 years. Now, that's 80%. Have you ever looked at your grocery bill? And you wonder where your money goes? And the more scarce the food gets, the higher that it will go. And ladies and gentlemen, the farmers are being discouraged from growing so that the big co-ops of GMO'd institution like Monsanto that controls the world's seeds and the big co-ops that control the foods that we eat. And so here we are, Bible prophecy. We are looking now at the time of Matthew 24 that I just read you, and Mark chapter 8. We are now, or 13, we are now, verse 8, we are now in the time that the Bible prophecy is telling us it will be a tribulation period planned properly, purposely, and the Bible's picking up on it. You see, prophecy is planned events foretold. Now, who would think about trying to destroy one-third of the world's population? Well, the Bible specifically mentions that one-third of the people at one point or another, at one time or another, are going to die. China, Egypt, Vietnam, India, representing more than a third of global rice exports. Curbed sales this year, and Indonesia says that it will do the same. Curbed the sale of rice. Did you know that we had a panic over here in America? At the Sam's Clubs and at some of the large distribution centers for rice? That they rationed it? you might better be thinking about somebody is beginning to be worried about what is going on. The price of rice, the staple food for half the world, rose 2% to a record $20.10 per 100 pound in Chicago, double the price a year ago, and fivefold increase from 201. Fivefold increase and double in 1 year. To a record $20.10 per 100 pounds. Already nations that possess the food are typically have once been willing to share their harvests with the world. They're exporting their crops are now having to lessen their exports to be able to feed their own people. You see what I mean? Now, let me give you a frightening scripture. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I behold, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, if you look at that, that's predicting or foreseeing a food shortage. Did you know that in the Bible, that in the past, the famines, and did you know that there's 13 pronounced examples of famines in the Bible? 13. I don't know why 13, but that's how many I've counted them today, studying for this message. 13 pronounced famines. I'm going to go in a few minutes and get into some of the biblical aspects of the biblically recorded famines, and I will express a couple of those to you and show you how extreme, how people will act in an extreme famine. You won't believe their actions. Ladies and gentlemen, that was thousands of years ago that the Bible penned and picked up on the reactions of the peoples who were trying to get food. Now, it's not so bad till your belly begins to swell from malnutrition, and you look like you're fat and doing good, and your face is bloated, but that's a sign of death. And then finally, when death begins to hit because of starvation, and that's our message tonight, the world in peril of mass starvation. The population has exploded, along with the increase of the foods that are manufactured and brought to your grocery shelves in America. Go to Walmart. It's almost a penitentiary crime to see so much food laying on the shelves. I mean, like, tons and tons and tons of meat, cut, packaged, waiting on your pickup. But the ingredients of that meat, I mean, this is not organic meat, ladies and gentlemen. This is not grass-fed grain. These are animals that have been grown in a feedlot. They have been cut, their testicles removed from their bodies so that they could inhibit more fat, unnatural growth. You see, a steer or a bull, as we call them here in the South, a bull would be better meat for body-wise, for the consumption of human consumption, because you get the testosterone from the product of the meat. Whereas if the animal has lost its testicles, it has lost its testosterone, and so there's no value to the meat other than it has been given the treatment with the hormones to get it fat, and you're getting a lot of poison and injections of things. You wouldn't believe what they inject these animals with. And I've explained to you in programs past how that they kill the animal and strangle it in its own blood, how that they excite the animal so that the blood would actually freeze through the fright. As the adrenaline begins to flow through the animal, then they kill it. And then it freezes and traps the moisture of the blood in the meat. And that makes it way more, and so you pay for the blood, which you're not supposed to eat. No wonder the famine is upon the land. No wonder the people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I tell you, it's very tempting to go down there and walk down those aisles, and they're nice and cool. You know, the room temperature of the meat market in, say, like Walmart. And they're chinning in, if you will, muscling in would be a better word. They're muscling in on the food products. You see, they used to be in selling hardware and stuff and stuff like that. Now they're into everything. Everything that you need in your daily walk. They have it under one roof. It's incredible. And yet most of it is where you wouldn't want to go. So if you go to Walmart, you don't need to get into the food shelf, that's for sure. You need to run from that. Now the cost of food has gone up so much, even those who can afford it have begun to notice it. It's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on in our world in foodstuffs. Now, I promised you I was going to give you a few examples of famine in the Bible, and I would like to do so, and I want to call your attention to 2 Kings in chapter 6. And if you will take the time, I won't have the time to do it here, but it's an example of extreme psychological reaction of how people will do when they get hungry. Now, you say, oh, this would never happen in our day. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. What is to be? Now, this is already been, so it must still be to be. And when the two women came and presented their testimonies to King Solomon, and he said, what's your trouble? And one of the ladies replied to the king, well, she said yesterday that we'd eat my son, and so we killed him, and we ate him. Now listen to this now. This mother is testifying to the king during a severe famine, telling the king that they had planned in the community where they lived to eat her son. Now, probably her son didn't know he was on the menu for that day. But she's complaining to the king. She said, well, this woman said to me, give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes, she backed out on the deal, and so the king had to settle the matter. Now, can you really wrap your mind around that? Can you really get in touch with that kind of thinking? That mothers, that, you know, when a mother turns against her children, you know the end is nigh. I mean, that child's life, they got through having that child for dinner. And then the other mother that promised her son for the next meal reneged, and this brought the court appearance where the king had to rule in the matter. Now it's getting bad when the peoples of the nation begin to select from among their own to cannibalism and eating and devouring the flesh of their own children. That's what I'm talking about, that can possibly and probably and more likely will happen again, possibly in your lifetime. Now, 2 Kings, in chapter 6, verse 25. This is in the same time frame of the same famine. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and as they besieged it, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. 80 shekels of silver. 80 shekels of silver. The donkey's head. Now, well, you're talking about a soup bone. 80 shekels, a donkey's head. Ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't to feed the lions. These people were actually paying this enormous sum, 80 shekels of silver, for a donkey's head. And the Messiah's value was only 30 pieces of silver. And the donkey's head was going for 80 in this famine. And the fourth part of a cab, in the Hebrew, of shekels of silver. Can you really comprehend? Can you just wrap your mind around this and let your mind say what is to be has already been? Now, as the king was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him and said, "Help me." "What is your trouble?" answered the king. And she answered, "The woman said to me, 'Give me your son that we made him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' And so we boiled my son and ate him. And the next day I said to her, 'Give me of your son,' but she had taken and hidden him." A donkey's head for 80 shekels. Eating their own. Dove's dung is selling for 5 shekels of silver. You see, ladies and gentlemen, money's going to fail. And when it does, you might need a little silver and gold to buy you some dove's dung. You might want to go to the marketplace and ask some mother if she would take 35 or 40 shekels of silver for her son, if she hadn't already eaten him herself. Can you fathom what I'm talking about? The reaction, the psychological reaction in a worldwide famine. And you say, "Well, Pastor Buddy, the Bible says they're going to be eating and drinking." Who's going to be eating and drinking is a question. Don't you know the global elite that has planned the demise to reduce the population? That they've got food stored, and I've told you the whole theme of my message is, are you ready for the time of trouble such as the world has never seen? Now, when Elijah the Tishbite, when he said that there would be no rain for 3 years and not even dew from heaven, ladies and gentlemen, there was such a famine in those days that the ravens had to come and feed this man of the faith. The ravens fed him flesh. I don't know what kind of meat he was eating, but I know a raven is unclean. But here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you say, I wouldn't eat no pork, and I wouldn't eat this. You might eat anything, including your own children, as an example. These things have happened as an example of how people will psychologically react to the time of trouble, such as the world has never seen, that I just related to you from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 8. A time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Now, the world has already seen these kinds of troubles and famine, that they ate their own. They eat a donkey's head. Dove's dung, which they were using for fuel. They weren't eating it, but they were using it for fuel to cook the head of the donkey or to cook the children, boiling this meat. And can you imagine you tearing off a limb of a child like you would tear off the wing of a chicken that you've roasted over a fire or boiled in a pot and chomping down on it? It's incredible. Listen to what Yahweh said in Leviticus chapter 26. "I will break the pride of your power, and I will make the heavens like iron, and your earth will become like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. Then, if you walk contrary to me and will not listen to me, I will continue striking you sevenfold for your sins. And I will let loose the wild beast against you." And Jim, we got them all over America right now. These wild beasts running rampant. Rock and roll, baby. I mean, these wild beasts, They're two-legged beasts. They're running rampant. They're out of control. You go into some of these communities, and these beasts will kill you. And they'll boil you right now. They'll have you for dinner. Which they shall bereave you of your children, and destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, so that your roads shall be deserted. And if by this disciple, if you have not turned to me, but walk contrary to me, I will bring it over you 7 times 7. And it's a time that is expressed in Genesis 41, that 7 years of plenty that occurred, and then 7 years of famine. 7 is a perfect number. And ladies and gentlemen, we are in these times of trouble such as the world has never seen. Revelation chapter 18 verse 8 says that there was a great famine during the time of tribulation. Now, I'm not talking about the rich, the elite that I talked about in part one, how that they have dug holes into the earth. They have bored into the mountains, the granite mountains, in the nations around the world. These are the elite that are going to survive something that they think is coming. Did they plan it, or has it been purposed by a world power that shall rule the nations with a rod of iron? And as the Bible says here in the scriptures, that men died. They literally died for the lack of food. What would happen if you couldn't run over to your local grocery? You know, we've got so addicted, instead of growing or making or hunting for our food, we've got so addicted to this easy way of life, this cellophane packaged product. I mean, we just run down to the corner market and get us a pack of smokes, or get us a carton of Coke, or a case of beer. We get us 3 or 4 steaks, and you know, and we come home and we turn on the 200 channel TV, and we sit there and we just have a feast. And there's 13,000 people every day right now in the midst of this silent famine. 13,000 people a day die from starvation. It's sad. Listen to this. This is Revelation 18:8. Therefore, her plagues shall come in one day. Now, this is Babylon. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you about what we know as the New World Order. Remember, the first Babylon, it didn't have any famine associated with it. Didn't have any plagues. It just fell. But notice the second Babylon. That's our Babylon. Our day. The one that's been, I mean, men are bound to it. Rich elite are praising its power. The evil are planning and plotting. There's a conspiracy among us to destroy at least 4 billion of the 6.7 billion people that's on the planet. They want to get rid of you. You become a liability. You're no longer an asset. The Social Security programs, they're broke. They ain't got nothing to pay you with. Well, wouldn't it be nice to get you off the payroll? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, now it's dangerous to go to the hospital if you're not sick. And you go to the hospital for some reason, you could get very sick. And if you're sick and go to the hospital, you could get very dead. It's a staggering amount of people that die in hospital. with good intentions. They went there for aid and for comfort and for healing. And they came out with a tag on their toe, a slab of cold flesh headed for the morgue. Therefore, let her plagues shall come in one day. Death. First thing of this terrible famine plague that I'm talking about in the time of trouble is going to be death and mourning. Boy, the nation's been eating and drinking and being merry, but there shall come a day of mourning and famine. This is Babylon falling, ladies and gentlemen. Death, mourning, and famine. And she shall utterly be burned with fire, for strong is Yahweh who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and have lived deliciously with her. That means they're faring real good. That means they got the inside track on medicines. I mean, they're jumping out of our airplane at 100. It's incredible. You never seen none of these rich, elite, powerful. You ever notice them? They don't get sick until they finally die in an old age. I could give you some names, and you would get the idea, but you should already know that they're withholding the good stuff from you, and the patent processes of we could all live in utopia here. We could live energy free. We wouldn't have to pay any money for our energy, but the co-ops and the utility system of the taxation of Babylon has made you a servant, and they will live deliciously with Babylon and shall wail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, and standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon." Now, we know that city is depicted as a tower or a place where people go and gather and admire and give their goods and services into. This great city is depicted as the ruling elite of the earth. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to come a time that this elite, elaborate conspiracy of the kings of the earth who are living deliciously. I like that word. In a famine, that word would, you say, "I've got something that is delicious." And if you held out your hand, you'd probably lose your hand, people grabbing it out of your hand. Deliciously. They have lived deliciously. And the merchandise of gold and silver. Did you know the Bible says that they will cast their gold and silver into the streets, and it will not deliver them, that they will dig into the and bore into the interior chambers of the earth and pray for the mountains and the rocks that they have bored into, that they would fall on them and end their agony and pain and anguish as they anticipate looking upon the face of Him that's coming back to judge those who have lived deliciously and devoured the good and the innocent and the poor and the needy and the hungry. They have had merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and they thrive. The wood of all manner vessels of ivory and all manners of vessels of precious wood, brass, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Oh my. And the fruits that they have lusted after are departed from them, and the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from them, and they shall find them no more. And the merchants of these which have made themselves rich by her shall stand afar off in fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches came to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by her stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto that great city? Symbolically, ladies and gentlemen, the elite, the elaborate, have built a city of luxury, and they're living deliciously within her. And the pawns and the uneducated and the uninformed are daily carrying their goods and services and dropping them at the feet of the rich through taxation and through the tyranny, ruling over them with a rod of iron. And the devil, who has inspired them to do so, because he's a liar, he's a killer, he's a deceiver, and he has his children sitting on top of the necks of the poor people of Yahweh, beaten down to the point that they would literally boil their own children and eat them to survive. Can you comprehend it? Can you dig it? Or are you digging a hole to bury your gold and silver? And are you collecting in the vast vaults of the international banker elites? Are you in that crowd where you are living in the penthouses and you are filled with cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men? You've got all the gold and the silver, you've got all the precious stones, and you've got the oil and the pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet. You've got all manners of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble, and you've carved out your little niche, and you think that you're going to live for the rest of your life while you're planning and plotting the demise of the poor people of the earth. And it ain't going to happen. Because he that sits in the heavens, he's going to laugh and mock when your fear comes. And anyone, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, anyone who does not love Yahweh does not know Yahweh, because Yahweh is love. But according to his promises, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. When he comes, ladies and gentlemen, according to the book of Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22, there will be a new order. There's a new day dawning where he said, I'll wipe all tears from your eyes. Press toward the mark. Labor. Suffer. Let the ruling elite, let the evil, let them master. Let them sit in their ivory towers and let them deck themselves out with gold and precious things and things that they have lived deliciously with, while you are starving you are begging for the husk. As the poor prodigal son that we've become, because we would not keep his laws. We deserve being under the tutorship of Babylon. It's teaching us a lesson, and we deserve it, ladies and gentlemen, because we have failed to seek our Father. We have failed to call upon him in a day of trouble. We have failed to recognize recognize him, and we fail to repent, and until we do, he won't. But when we do, he will come, and he will rescue us. He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon all of the elite, the powerful and the rich, that have lived deliciously at the expense of his poor sons and daughters, who should be kings and princes and princesses ruling here in the earth. But see, the devil had another plan. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, rejoice over her, thou heavens, and thy holy apostles, and your prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Oh, the vengeance that's laid up, the things that's been laid up, the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of any of those who love our Creator, what reward there is for the poor, the innocent, the naive, little dumb sheep, as we have to huddle together. Are you making plans, ladies and gentlemen? Are you in line and in tune with the age of the time of trouble such as the world has never seen? Are you making preparation? Are you planning? Are you going to make a stand? Will there be any righteous? Will there be faith among Yahweh's people when he comes back? That's a question he left. Will I find faith on earth when I return? And yet we know that scripture, and we hold to this more precious than gold, which we have none of that, but we have a precious promise that Yahweh said, as long as there is a sun and as long as there is a moon, my people Israel will stand before me. A remnant will survive. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be in that number, you can be counted in Isaiah 66, verses 22. A new heaven and a new earth. And from one new moon, and from one Sabbath to the next, all of those who I have chosen will come and worship with me on those days. You can forget Saturday then, ladies and gentlemen. You can forget Saturn's day, and you can forget the sun's day, and you will be introduced to Yahweh's way. But let me tell you one thing. If you don't practice now, you won't be in that number then. If you don't love him now, you won't love him then. If you don't serve him now, you won't serve him then. If you don't make these hard decisions now, you won't make those easy decisions then. You see, it's those who stand up, it's those who suffer with him that will reign with him. And he's looking, his eyes are running to and fro in the earth, and he's wanting to see if you are man or woman enough to stand in the time of trouble. And when you've done all you could do to stand, stand. Maybe some will take your life. Maybe there's an internment camp waiting on you. Maybe you've got a number that they're going to sizzle into your hands or your arms, and you will be a numbered system in Babylon. Maybe you'll be delivered up before kings that have lived deliciously in the Babylon ivory towers, as they are now planning the demise of several billion people to relieve the planet of its plague. And that's the poor, innocent people. And you can bet your bottom dollar that the people of Yahweh is in the mind of Satan to destroy. And you can bet your bottom dollar that Satan's plans, and he knows those that love Yahweh just as much as Yahweh knows those who hate him. Yahweh knows them that are his, and Satan knows if you are a child of the king, because the Bible said when you're good, evil will come and visit you, and it will attack you in any place through anybody, and most of the time it's through the friends that you trusted and you had confidence in, and the devil will work right through them to the bitter end. Oh, my, hallelujah. And a mighty the angel took up a stone. Verse 21, I've got to come to a close. Like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. Oh my, what a happy day. Oh, I pray, Heavenly Father, come. Bring with you the wrath and the fire of all of the angels at your command. Let them mount up on wings of an eagle. Let them ride the mighty chariots through the air. And may they come to planet Earth. And may they destroy the wicked and sever out from among all of the unclean. And turn this into the original paradise and utopia of the house of Adam and his descendants. And may the seed of Cain perish. And may the seed of Edom, Esau, perish. And then there'll be a happy day when we won't find one of those in the house of Israel. Oh, I feel the great anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on a Tuesday night. I've enjoyed this awesome time with you. The Holy Spirit and anointing has really touched my heart. I know that you're going through a hard time. I know that you're having to pay through the nose. And you've got it to the grindstone. And they're grinding on you and they're laughing and living deliciously. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so sad. It is so sad that the devil and his angels are so evil. They wear three-piece business suits. They giggle and they laugh as they sit behind the closed doors to plan your destruction while they live deliciously on the expense of your blood. But the Bible said that every drop of precious blood from Abel to the last drop that will be shed in the name of the King, all of that will be avenged when he comes in the clouds with power and great glory. And then shall the earth mourn and shall reel to and fro like a drunken man, and every wall will fall down, and the great wrath of Almighty Yahweh will be pronounced upon this world. And then shall the righteous shine and rise with healing in their wings. And we'll inherit the earth. Oh, happy day. Praise Yahweh. Suffer on. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't look back. Press toward the mark and a high calling which is in your Creator Yahweh. Because there's a promise to you and there's a hope. But prepare, ladies. You know the tough time's coming. You better hunker in. You better get close. And you better hold on. There's going to be a great shaking. Call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. I'm waiting for your call. Or you can write me, and if you would like to have this two-part series on the coming world, the starvation famine, you can have these 2 hours of teaching by just writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can hear us live streaming around the world on internet. Brother Bob has got the internet connection working full time, 24/7. These messages are being played on the internet. You can simply go to oneyahweh.com and download these messages by going to the sermons file, and you can, or live streaming, go to documents, and there you can find all these articles posted, the PFDs, and all these things. There's tons of things for you to study on. Days and days and nights of these honest truths, and over 1,000 hours of ministering by Pastor Buddy. And the fellowship of the brethren and the saints, as we come to you with our hands held high in the great name of the King, hoping and trusting that you've got a message in your heart from our presenting to you the gospel. Yahweh bless you. If you would like these messages sent to you, just write Pastor Buddy, and I'll most certainly get them to you, ladies and gentlemen. Because, you know why? Because Yahweh's coming soon, and the Bible says that Yahweh is a strong tower. And he's got you in his hand. Don't you want to be there, ladies and gentlemen? Or do you want to be out in the world, the hands of the world? For Satan has lured you away from the Creator.
One pair of
hands is all it takes to hold you in the palm of his hand. Then you can proudly say, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or seen a begging bread. Oh my.
Every bird,
we can multiply
every
the bread.
Flower, every tree.
He can raise the dead. He can cast out devils. And ladies and gentlemen, his people are still dwelling on this earth. And you're listening to one tonight. I am a son of Yahweh. I am a king that's waiting to be crowned for my treasures are laid up.
Put your faith into one pair of hands.
I love you tonight. I'll see you.
One pair of hands.
That'll be
sick.
Coming up. Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on WWRB 3.185, clear channels transmitting Jewel of the South, where exclusively you'll hear Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you, and I love you.
On her hands said, I love you.